Okay, this is March 24th, 2008, and the topic tonight is Create Your Own Reality. This is Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, all month we were talking about how to use this teaching, how to do something with this teaching, so that you can create your own reality. And one of the things, the themes in for the whole month, was the idea, and they're on the table there, that you are the beloved. You have to remember that you are connected to this thing called God. This is why you're able to do all the different things. This is why you're able to create your own reality, because this divinity is inside of you, and you are one with this thing that we call God. We have the little cards always on the table, which says, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You have to remember that you're a part of everything. Then you can use this power. And we are not the only people that thought this. Remember, Jesus said, it's the Father within that doeth the work. It's the Father within that doeth the work. So we have to remember that. The other thing that we were doing during the month, learning that we are the beloved, is learning to change your mind about all the mindsets that you have inside of you, why you think that this cannot happen. All this stuff that you've learned from the world outside, all the stuff, the cultural stuff that you picked up. Tonight you heard a song at the very beginning, and it was called Open Up Your Heart. In every culture, we talk about the heart. We say things like, follow the heart. How does it feel in your heart? Always we're talking about the heart. Well, we don't listen to our heart, because the world tells you no. Listen to your mind. And here again we run into trouble, because we consider this teaching science of mind or religious science. And we talk about the mind all the time. The mind is a very important thing. But you have to learn how to use the mind. But the most important thing is what's going on inside of you in this area that we call the chest, where our heart is located. I've told you many times that there is an organization called MAP Heart. And it's located in on the coast of state California. It's been there for 15 years. And all they do is experiments in different things about your heart and what your heart does. They have discovered that they can feel the heart and the energy coming from the heart in some people 15 feet away. 15 feet away, because the heart is always sending out energy. Also, they've discovered there's a brain in the heart. They call it the small brain in the heart. And the whole idea always is to get your head and your heart relating to each other. And we know that in religious science or science of mind, when your head and heart relate with each other, you form a demonstration. And that is what the whole thing about the mental equivalent is. When Emmett Fox says you must have warmth of feelings, you must have an emotion going on, you must be feeling something, not just thinking something. And this is what gets many people into trouble. And in religious science or the New Thought movement, it gets people into trouble because they think all I have to do is use my mind. And we have books like Think and Grow Rich, Think Thin and You'll Be Thin, Do This Just by Thinking. Thinking is a wonderful thing, people. Absolutely wonderful. But unless your head and your heart are connected, you're not going to get what you want. You see, you're not going to get what you want. So you have to put that heart into everything. You have to realize that your heart is a very important thing, that your heart is more important than your brain. We are taught that the brain is the most important organ in our body because it does all this thinking and so forth. But you can be brain dead and your heart continues to beat. But if your heart stops beating, your brain immediately dies. The brain cannot get along without the heart, but the heart can get along without the brain. Therefore, the heart is more important than the brain. So try to put feeling, and you've often heard me use this expression, feelings are the life of the organism. It's not your thoughts. It's your feelings. How are you feeling? And it boils down to, how are you feeling about yourself? How are you feeling about yourself? Are you feeling and knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? Do you know that you're a wonderful human being? You're saying. These are the things you need to know. Then you start with that premise or that foundation. Then you can make a demonstration, because your mind will not fight you once you say that. Once you say that. Now, I talked to my cousin today. She's in Florida. She has cancer. And I sent her different things. I talked to her and everything. And she said to me, "Oh, Dallas, you're such a wonderful person. My mind immediately went into a tailspin. I had to correct it and say, yes, she's right. I am a wonderful person." You have to be able to correct your mind. You see, my mind went to say, "Oh, that's nothing. Oh, no, I'm not really. Oh, she just thinks that because I'm nice to her. Yada, 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 yada." You have to correct that mind right away. You have to correct that thinking right away and say, "She's absolutely right. I am a wonderful person." But we have allowed ourselves to let the mind talk us out. People, guys, get compliments all day long, and they just let them go out. They don't take them in. "Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, you're nice. You're wonderful." You go, "Oh, what is that? What do they know? If they really knew me, if they really knew me, they wouldn't say that." You cannot let your mind do that to you. You're safe. You can't let your mind do that. You have to convince your mind that you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter. You have to do that. Your mind is yours to use. You are not your mind. Your mind is not your friend. It was never your friend. It will never be your friend. You must learn to control your thinking so that you are able to think the thoughts that you want to think, and feel the feelings that you want to feel. So if you want a demonstration in your life, if you want to be able to change your reality in your life, you have to change what you are thinking about yourself. You say, "Remember, I only allow thoughts into my head that heal me, bless me, or prosper me. Any other thoughts, I do not allow in my head. When they start, I tell them to go back to the nothingness from whence they came." Then I sit down, and if you see, I gave you affirmations. I sit down and do affirmations till I correct that. This is a wonderful teaching, but it's a do-it-yourself project. You have to be able to do this. You see, I can tell you all day long that you're wonderful, but till you really believe that, it's not doing one bit of good. So you have to convince your own mind that you're a wonderful human being. Now, you also, when you those things come up, whatever it is, your mind is going to come up with all the reasons why you're not. And it's going to start with your history. And you're going to argue all these things. You've got to get rid of this idea that you are your history. You are not your history. You are not your past. You are not the person that you were this morning. So how do you do that? You let that go. You forgive yourself for the mistakes that you made. We're all making mistakes. I make mistakes all day long. I never dwell on them. I say, I made a mistake. I forgive myself. I'll do better next time. And I do better next time. We have to raise our own selves. We're the ones who have to do that. We don't have parents around anymore, except those voices that are in our head telling us things. You see, we have to get rid of those. We have to get rid of all of that. So open up your heart. Open up your mind to a different way of thinking. We just came off of a wonderful 40 days. I did 40 days worth of things for the Lent season. And for the Christian world, we had Easter on Sunday. Now, what does that mean? To me, that means I am made new. I don't have to take 40 days to be made new. But I know that resurrection is always going on inside of my body. That my body is always making itself new. And that my thoughts are becoming new. So that I can think in a new way. You cannot have a new reality if you're going to think in the same way. It will not work. It will just repeat itself, you see. So you have to know. And you can do these things anytime you want. You don't have to go through an Easter program. You don't have to do Christianity. You don't have to do Judaism. You don't have to be a Buddhist. You don't have to do anything. At the core of all these religions is the truth that you are one with God. That you are one with God. But what happened? They immediately started to put doctrines on. And somebody got and said, well, let's study this. I think it should be done this way. Well, I think we ought to have 12 sacraments. No, I think we ought to have 2 sacraments. No, I think we ought to have this. No, I think we ought to circumcise people. No, I think this should happen and that should happen. And they clunk it all together and they said, well, this is religion. And if you do all these things, God's going to be very pleased with you. I'm here to tell you that God is pleased with you regardless of what you do. God is always going to be pleased with you. You have to be pleased with yourself. And most people are not pleased with themselves. So learn to be pleased with yourself. And learn to see how wonderful you are. And open up to those wonderful things you've seen. And it's always going to be, you have to remember that you're one with God. Here's a little card. People are so busy trying to become God that they ought to realize that we already are God, and God is becoming us. And God is becoming us. This is the relationship that you have to have going on in your life. This is what you have been thinking. You have to have going on inside of your head. Because if you want to change your reality, it's changed with an idea of unity, that you're one with the power and that you are that power. All religions take that away from you because they want to tell you that you're separated from this thing that we call God. And you're not separated from this thing called God. I'm not taking anything or bad mouthing any religion. What I am saying is, you know perfectly well that these religions have been around for 2,000, over 2,000 years. Now I'm asking you a question. Are they working? And are they working for you? If a religion does not tell you that you're a wonderful human being, if a religion does not tell you that you're one with God, it's not working for you. To go to church week after week, to pray to a God, to read the Bible or any scripture, and still think that there's something wrong with you, that you're less than, your religion is not working. It's not working. This thing called God wants you to know how wonderful you are. Remember, the highest form of worship that you can give God is to love yourself. Because you're part of God. You were created by God. God doesn't make mistakes. God makes perfection. You see, something that's perfect cannot make something that's imperfect. But most of us think that we're imperfect. We think we're imperfect because we compare ourselves to somebody else. And you have to remember that you are a unique individual. You cannot compare yourself to anybody. And you have to take that uniqueness and do something with that uniqueness. So if you want a new reality, you get that new reality by your intention, by your focus. And then you put power behind that. And the power that you put behind intent and focus is your imagination. Your imagination. We constantly forget that we have that power. But we do have that power. And if you'll look at this, there's one in here. By the way, Kathy in the class wrote all these out. There are different things that she heard here, different things that she read and all. And she presented me with a copy, and I made copies for everyone because they're very succinct. And it's nice to have this. Let me see. There's one here that I love. Oh, imagination is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions. That was Albert Einstein. That was Albert Einstein, who also said imagination is more important than facts. So you use your imagination as a preview of life's coming attractions. What do you want in your life? You have to have an imagination. You have to see that. Seeing that in your mind is the mental equivalent. Is the mental equivalent. And you get the mental equivalent and you put warmth of feeling behind it. You put warmth of feeling behind it. And you can create something. You have to realize that you are creators. Does everyone here realize that that's what you do? You create. You can't be part of God that creates and then think that you don't, can't create. That's an innate quality within inside of you. You were created like that. So you're able to create. What are you able to create? You're able to create your own reality. And you create your own reality with your thinking and your feeling. That's what it's all about. You see, we've been taught, and the world teaches out there, that something else is causing everything. You have to come to the point in your life where you realize that you are causing everything that comes into your life. Everything that comes into your life. You have to take responsibility for and say, I created this. And you do that without taking blame and shame and guilt and everything. Because now you can change it. But if it belongs to somebody else, if you say they caused me to do that or this caused me to do that, you're out of luck. Because you can't change anybody else. And you can't change things outside of yourself. People are always trying to change the reality that they're in. But you created that reality that you're in. If you want to change the reality that you're living in, you have to change your thinking. Once you change your thinking, that reality changes. But it doesn't change if you keep thinking the same thing. And if you keep thinking the same thing about yourself all the time. If you can't get up every morning and know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable and that you matter, don't get out of bed. Stay in bed until you're able to do that for yourself. Stay in bed. Very, very important. Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter thing.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
So it's all done with your thinking, it's done with your mind, but it's also done with your heart. And we have to get back to that idea of feelings and what are you feeling. But it's always going to be, what are you feeling about yourself? What are you feeling? It's always going to start with you. Life is a do-it-yourself project. No one else can do it for you. You have to do it. And it's easy to do. You were given all the tools. This thing called God did not plunk you down here on this plane of action without giving you all the tools to use to have a successful life. You are here on this plane of action to thrive, not just to survive. The world outside wants to tell you that, oh, what a horrible way it is to survive. We have to figure out how to survive. Give that idea up, that you have to figure out how to survive. You have to figure out how to thrive. That's what you're here for. The world teaches survive. I teach thrive. You have to be able to do and have what you want. Otherwise, there is no purpose for you to be here. There's no purpose for you to be here. So we have to change our thinking, and we have to give up some of these things that we have been taught. We have to give up some of the traditions and so forth. I think all the traditions, especially around the holidays, are absolutely wonderful. But you have to realize that they are just traditions. In and of themselves, they are doing nothing for you. It's what you are thinking that is doing it. You see? And we have to give up some of these. If for 2,000 years we've done the same thing, and there's still not peace in this world, what do you think that means? You see? We can no longer continue to think that religion is saving the world and will save the world, because it's not doing it. It's not going to do it. All religion separates. All religion separates, because immediately somebody will say, I'll hold it. Will immediately say, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Jew, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Methodist. As soon as you do that, you are separating yourself. You are separating yourself. Only spirituality unites everybody, brings things together, and not separate. And that's what you need to know with your thinking. You must be united with this thing called God. You must know that you can create something. You see. So you have to do that for yourself. You have to give up the idea that the world told you that you're separated from this and only God can do this or only special people can do this. Again, one of the master teachers, Jesus, what did he say? You can do this and more. You can do this and bigger things, better things. But then we just pass right over that and say, oh, only he could do it. You see. Only he could do it. So we have to see that. We have to stop being so convinced with the reality that we're living in. You see, the reality that you're having right now, you're absolutely convinced that that's the only reality that there is. When you realize that you can change your reality and there are other realities going on simultaneously, and they're always going on simultaneously because there's only the now, you see. So since there's only the now, all realities have to be going on at the same time. So in your reality, here's what you have to think if you want to change. If at the present moment you're living with lack and limitation, you have to know that in another reality, you're living in abundance. And that reality is going on exactly at the same time. But you're just convinced of this reality. Now you have to convince yourself of that reality. As soon as your consciousness is convinced of the other reality, you will enter that reality. Because it's right here in front of you. That's why we always say, all things are done in mind. All things are present. But you don't see them because you're living and convinced by the reality that you're living in. So as soon as you realize that you don't have to be convinced, you're saying, you don't have to be convinced by this particular reality. You see. We're convinced that that table is solid. But that table is not solid. We're convinced that that table is not moving and that table is moving. But we're so convinced that it's solid and not moving, we don't see. If you can convince yourself that it's porous, you will see it. But we live in a collective consciousness also. So everyone else sees that. If I started to see things and saw that table differently, they'd lock me up. So we don't do that. We're absolutely afraid to enter a different reality. Because somebody's going to say, oh no, you can't have a different reality. And I'm telling you, you can have a different reality. But you have to convince yourself of that. And you have to be open to that possibility. You have to be open to that possibility. So the reality that you have created for yourself now has become the box that you are living in. It's become the box that you're living in. So you have to get rid of the box. You see, and to get rid of the box, you have to start thinking differently. You have to start thinking differently. You have to know, oh, I can do this. This is absolutely possible. People say, well, no one's ever done it before. Then you have to say, but I'm going to be the first one. You see, and as soon as you're the first one, then everyone else is going to do it and say, oh, yes, now it's possible. You see, and then the reality changes. Then the reality changes. So go inside, into your own mind, and have a fantasy, for goodness sakes. See yourself being able to do things. See yourself being able to do things. Here's a wonderful card. The reason you can't jump over a tree in the physical world is that you don't realize you can wake up. I'll explain that to you. You see, when you're having a dream and you're in a dream, you can jump over a tree because it's a dream. And you know that you're going to wake up. So you go ahead and do that. But you're dreaming this reality. And if you wake up from this reality, you'll be able to jump over a tree. But your mind and your consciousness has convinced you that you can't do that. You must wake up, people. You must wake up. You must become aware of all the powers that you have. You can do these things. They're easily done. They're done in your mind. And they're done by letting go of all that rigid stuff that you have in there. As soon as I say that you can jump over a tree in this physical reality, what did your minds do to you? Did you say, well, now he's really gone off the deep end this time? Oh, no one can do that. It's impossible. You see, you don't know that that's impossible. You don't know that that's impossible. But your mind tells you it's impossible. And why does it tell you it's impossible? Because you've never seen it done. Now, is that any criteria for living your life? And you do that to yourself all day long. No one else has done it. It's never been done. Therefore, it can't be done. If you wake up from the dream, you can jump over the tree. See, when you're dreaming, that's a different reality. But you're in that reality wholeheartedly. That's called a subtle reality. This is a heavy reality because it's hard. But it's only one reality. So if you want to change your life, you have to know that there's another reality going on. And that reality that's going on corresponds to this reality that you're having. Because in this reality you don't have, in that reality you do have. They go on simultaneously. You've just picked this reality. Start to pick that reality. Start to pick that reality. Now, how are you going to do that? How do you think you're going to do that? How do you think you're going to do that?
Imagination.
You have to use your imagination. Greatest tool you were given is your imagination. Here is one technique that I use. In your mind, you see this reality, and you see that reality. Now you see a switch. You switch this reality off. You switch that reality on. It's just flicking a different switch. That's all it takes. So if you're not getting what you want, go in to your mind. Take a moment, see the switch, and say, huh, I'm turning that switch off. I'm turning this switch on. All these things are simple. All the techniques are simple. Creating is simple. We think it's very difficult to create something. It's not difficult to create something. That's your mind again telling you that. Remember, your mind can say, oh, I can easily have a dollar. But I can't have $1 million. Why can't you have $1 million? Simply because you put a value on that. But your mind did that. The universal mind did not do that. So you flip that switch off and you flip the other switch on. And you start seeing $1 million and you start living in that reality. You start living in that reality. Always going to boil down to your imagination. What are you thinking? How are you bringing something into your life? What is your intention? What is your focus? Then you can do all these affirmations to keep your mind focused, and you can do all this treatment work. You see. How many people do treatment work, and how many people in religious science, prayer is called treatment work? And we do treatment work. Well, when you do treatment work, you're not changing the mind of God. You're changing your mind. You cannot change the mind of God, people. I don't care what you do, you know, sacrifice sheep, lambs, or whatever you want to do. You can be on your knees till they're raw. You can light candles, you can do anything, but you'll never change the mind of God. Treatment work, prayer, changes your mind. And it changes your mind about yourself. Once your mind is changed about yourself, you open up an avenue or a conduit for the power to come through you. For the power to come through you. But you are not changing the mind of God. Many people do prayers and they plead and so forth. Or they bargain. They do all kinds of crazy things. You know, you don't. That isn't what you do. This thing called God, this mind that we talk about, this intelligence we talk about, is exactly that. It's intelligent. And you must talk to it intelligently. So as soon as you can get clear on what you want, you ask for that. This is exactly what I want. Just go in and order it like you're in a restaurant. I want my steak raw. I want my steak this way. I want this served this way, and this way. You place that, you give it, goes to the kitchen, it comes back the way you want it. If it doesn't come back the way you want it, what do? You send it back. You send it back. This is what you have to know about what you want in life. You have to make the order. And you send it. And if it comes back not right, just send it back again. And you correct that. You correct that. Remember the other week, Casey was in here and he said, Dallas, couldn't we treat for cushier seats? I said, well, we could treat for cushier seats, but then you may get a big rear end. You have to be specific. You have to be specific. You have to tell, I want the chair. I want the cushion of this chair to be this way and that way. You say, you don't say, I want a cushier seat. That's how people make all these mistakes. You see? You must talk to this thing intelligently, and you must tell God exactly what you want. The same way you're giving an order to a waiter. You say, oh, let me go. Well, are you saying God's a waiter? Yeah, I'm saying that. Well, my, you're going to offend God. You cannot offend God. You cannot offend God. If I look at God as a waiter, and I place an order and it goes to the kitchen, what am I doing?
Imagination.
I'm using my imagination. I'm using my imagination. I just keep saying this, imagination, imagination, imagination. And I'll probably do it for the next decade or so. Why? Because as many times as I say it, and as many times as you go, oh, yes, that's right. When the next question comes up and I give you an example and I say, what did I just do? Your minds go completely blank. Your mind is not your friend. Your mind always wants to keep you from hearing what you need to hear. Once you realize that, you can do something. But till you know that, you can't. You see, you have to know that every minute of every day, that it's your imagination that's doing it. It's your imagination that's doing it. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination is more important than faith. So think of those things. So in this new reality that you wanted, knowing that you're beloved, knowing that you're all this, then you must give up all the other stuff that you heard all your life. If it's not serving you, why are you still holding on to it? Why do you think it's so important to hold on to? If the world is telling you a lie and you buy into that lie, and then you just keep holding it when it's not doing anything for you, why are you doing that? That's not intelligence, is it? It's not being intelligent at all. You see. So you start to change the way you're thinking. But you start to change the way you're thinking about yourself. And you start to think how God is different from the God of your fathers or from the God of your childhood. You see. You start to develop that. I just read the little card where God is becoming us and we are becoming God. Can you think of that during the day? You see? Can you think of that during the day? You see, the whole idea in life is to learn to think God thoughts after it. Learn to think God thoughts after it. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means learning. How would God act in this situation? How would God act in this situation? I had people in on Saturday night. And here's how, I'll give you an example of what your mind does to you. So I started getting everything out and ready and so forth Saturday. Hours went by while I'm preparing, doing the food, doing all this stuff. My mind is saying to me, oh, why are you bothering Dallas? They won't appreciate it anyway. They'll drop it on the floor. Why are you? They won't care if you do this, that, the other thing. They have no taste. What the hell are you doing here? Blah, 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 blah. Just kept going on, you know. You're putting too much time and effort into this, Dallas. They're not going to appreciate it anyway. They're not going to appreciate you. I kept right on going. I finally said to myself, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me. Well, I got that far. My mind kept right after me. Finally, I said to myself, I'm doing this because God is coming to my house tonight. Because God is coming to my house tonight. That's when you think God thoughts after it. The three people that showed up, were all God. And I was doing it for God. Not for me. Not for them. If you can remember that type of thing, that you're doing it for God. You know, it's always God talking to God. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to God. When you go for a job interview, when you go out on your auditions and so forth, you have to know that it's always God meeting God. People say, oh, that person's awful, that's this, oh, that director, all this, that, and the other thing. That's only your mind doing that. You have to go beyond that into that other reality and realize, oh my goodness, that's God. That's God wearing a disguise. Not trying to trick you, but wearing a disguise so that you can learn something. So that you can learn something about yourself. Do that. Put everything in your business, in anything that you're doing. Know that you're always talking to God. And when people come to your house, it's God coming to your house. What else could it be? Can anyone think? See, we make these great big statements, don't we? The great big statement that we make is, all there is God. God is everything. God is everywhere. Those people are coming to my house and they're not God. And they're not going to appreciate anything. You have to hear what your mind is saying to you. You are not your mind. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. You have to learn to use it correctly. So in changing your reality, Thomas the other night said a person was here, and they said, well, the talks are very good, and he tells you this, that, and the other thing, but he doesn't tell you how to do this, how to actually do it. I'm always trying to tell you exactly how to do it. There would be no reason, if you want to not know how to do something, sit in a brand name church. You could sit there for 20 years and not know how to do something, because they're not going to tell you. We're here to tell you how to do something. How to take your life and change it. And change it into what you want. And change yourself into what you want to be. So that you can feel good about yourself. So that you can be pleased with yourself. So that you don't feel less than. So that you know that you are the beloved. This is what this teaching is about. When you know that, that's that whole idea of seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And all else will be added unto you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And it's within your body, it's within your heart, it's within your mind. And it's certainly within your thoughts. What are you thinking about all day long? Henry David Thoreau said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. What are you thinking about all day long? Are you thinking about money? Are you thinking of whatever? It doesn't matter, but you have to constantly think about it. But start with yourself. What is the sense of having money? I know tons of people who have money. Tons of people who have money. Miserable. Miserable. So if you're just going after money and you think that money's going to do something for you, that money is going to make your life happy, it's not. Remember, money is a byproduct. It's a side effect of this whole thing. Money attaches itself to you once you attach yourself to the idea that you're a wonderful human being, that you're deserving, worthy. You see, you have to know those things, and then it attaches itself to you. But if you don't know those things, it repels. You're repelling things. So what are you repelling in your life? We live in the law of attraction. You see. And if you're not getting what you want, you're the one that must be repelling it. And how would you repel it? You would repel it with your mind and your thinking, with your feelings. So here again, you can sit down, go into your mind, be quiet, go in there and flick the switch. Flick the switch. Another wonderful visualization, using your imagination, is to picture yourself sitting at a control panel. And here is your control panel. And you just flick the switches that you want. This switch for that, this for that. Label your switches. This switch, oh, I'm not going to be angry, I'm going to be this. I'm not going to be, oh, I'm going to do this. How many people think they lose their temper? How many people think that? Oh, well, that's, you got your temper switch on. Well, I don't need that anymore. I'm turning my temper switch on. You're here in the control panel. You're doing this. Now, let's go even further than this. Let's put a monitor there and let's see yourself. Oh my goodness, look, I don't like what I'm doing there. Oh, now I like that. You flick the switch, you see yourself on the screen, you don't like what you're doing. Whoops. You are not your mind, you are not your body. You're always going to be the thinker behind the thought. You're always going to be the witness to your own thinking. You're always going to be the one that's at the switchboard. We don't know what that person is at the switchboard. We don't know exactly what that is at the switchboard, but you have to know that that is where you are. If you don't know that you're the one that's doing that, then you're not in control. Then you're not in control. Why do we let control ourselves? One of the things that we let control ourselves, of course, is our desires. We have desires. These desires must be fulfilled. I don't know. Flick that off. You can moderate it. You can turn it down. It can be on a dimmer switch. You can do different things with that. The other thing that we allow to run our lives, because we don't know where the switchboard is, addictions. And you'll hear people say, but you don't understand, I'm addicted to sugar. Oh, I'm addicted to food. Oh, I'm addicted to sex. Oh, I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to that. Who's at the switchboard of your life? The addiction? You have to know that you're more than the addiction. That the addiction is not you. Go back to your control panel here. Go back to the switchboard. See yourself on the monitor. Ooh. Oh. Ooh. Turn the switches, turn the knobs on your control panel, people. If you don't, they are running you. Wonderful book. You cannot find this book, by the way. Please try. I'm going to copy. I've let mine out twice. It's a difficult book to find. Sometimes you can get it on Amazon. And it's called How to Run Your Own Life. And it's by a man called Jutt, J-U-T-T. I believe there's two T's in it. Menninger. And it's a transactional analysis book, if you're familiar with transactional analysis. But instead of three parts, he has a fourth part in there called The Adaptive Child. Wonderful book, because it's and very easy and very simple, because it's a talk with a Martian. You see, if you're a Martian, you don't have the problems. Under reality, the thing about people, instead of thinking of yourself always as a human being do this and that and the other thing, you know, I'm just kidding, it work. Why don't you get up some morning and say, you know, today I'm a Martian. And Martians don't do this. Martians don't get upset, you see. Martians don't hurt other people because they don't have a hurt gun, you see. And change that reality. How do you do that? How do you change that reality? How do you become a Martian? You use your thinking. You use your imagination. You have locked yourself into this reality. You have convinced yourself that this is the reality. So now you have to unconvince yourself. You have to unconvince yourself, you see. Think of all the different things that you can do. Think, you say to yourself, well, I'm this way because of this, this, and this. My parents were this way, and da-da-da-da-da-da-do, whatever you're going on in your mind. So get up in the morning and say, you know, I was raised in the south of France by two lesbians. Now, how's your reality going to change? How's your reality going to change? You don't walk into your reality because you keep telling yourself a history. You keep telling yourself a history, and you're absolutely convinced that history is correct, and that that's the only history you can have. That's the only history you can have. You can have any history you want. Make up your own history, for goodness sakes. You don't like the history you have? Make up a new one. How are you going to change your reality if you know exactly what your history was? History has nothing to do with it, people. The past has nothing to do with it. All power is in the present moment. It's right here and right now. You see, how many times do you remember me saying, what does God do? You know what does God do? You know that one. God makes all things new. But yet we don't make all things new because why? We look to the past. Oh yeah, we've always had wars. Oh yes, yes, I remember. Oh, and we drag it forward. Just keep dragging that stuff forward, you say. God makes all things new. God doesn't say, oh, I did that yesterday this way, so I'm going to do it today this way. You say, but we do that. So you have to break out of these little things. One of the ways to break out of it is, how many people take the same route to work every day? Change your route. You say, if you keep going down the same street, not only do you keep going down the same street, you finally don't see what's on that street. You no longer see what's on that street. If I go one way, I always go home in London, where I never take the same route. I find wonderful things that way. You see, if you want a different reality, you've got to do something differently. You've got to do something differently. It is not difficult. It's not hard to do this. You think it's difficult. You think it's hard because you're buying into the world. You have convinced yourself. You have allowed this illusion that you're living in to convince you that it's real. The illusion that you're living in is not real. Sick people buying into the illusion that they're sick. And I'm not putting sick people down, and I'm not saying don't go to doctors or hospitals, please. What I'm saying is don't be so damn convinced by your illness. You're saying, if you're sick in this reality, certainly in that reality, you're healthy. Go in, flick the switch, and go to the health reality. Go to the health reality. I didn't have a cold or the flu or anything all year. I'm not planning on doing it. Many times I felt like I was going to. I sat myself right down and I said, no, listen. You're not going to do this. It's going to leave your body in 3 minutes. But it left my body in 3 minutes. Because I did not buy into it. It's going to take 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. Yours. don't say that Dallas ever said something. Say, here's what I think. Here's what I say. Because if you don't, you're giving out secondhand information. And the other thing that you're taking in is all the secondhand information. If you take everything that I say without changing it, that's secondhand information. You have to start having firsthand information. You have to do it for yourself. You have to start thinking for yourself. Wonderful idea, don't you think? My little card. We look to our souls to remind ourselves that we have a divine spark inside. And yet, we don't base our lives on it. The soul flickers in and out. You see, we come to these teachings. We went to church all those years. We believe in this, that, and the other thing. And we say that. But we don't base our lives on it, do we? You have to base your life on it. You have to base your life on it. You have to base your life on the idea that you are the beloved. That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You have to base your life on, yes, I have a soul. And I'm one with this thing called God. And I'm living my life from there. The whole idea of creating a new reality is the idea that you must start living your truth. You must start living your truth. You see, we talk and we talk and we talk, but we don't live it. You must learn to live this teacher, or any teacher. But if you want to be in metaphysics and you want to be able to create, then you have to be able to do that every day and know that you're doing it. Get up every morning and say, I'm a creator. I'm a creator. And I'm creating my world. It's a wonderful thing. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be happy in it. Now you change that to, this is the day that I am making, and I will rejoice and be happy in it. And you take responsibility. You see, you always want to throw it on somebody else. Most of the time, you want to throw all the responsibility onto God. Learn to take that responsibility for yourself. This is the day that my mind is making. I will rejoice and be happy in it. Do that. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.